Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all new, brand new Russell Wortham show coming to you live, commercial free from my super secret back cave, folks. We're back and back in the middle of greatness. I have said this for a long time now, but it is scorching in the back cave. But we move on, and tonight, in about an hour's time, actually, it is going to be the biggest event, the biggest party of the summer, SummerSlam from Detroit Rock City. Man, super, super pumped for that. So, I won't be necessarily going over the card. Did that last week. But that's what we got going on tonight. If you are new here, welcome on in, kick your feet up, get something cool to drink. This is your one-stop shop for everything WWE. Thank you for being here. I am heard all around the world. I'm in 32 countries. I am hoping, and I mean I am hoping, to have my total up to 50 by the time we get to WrestleMania 40. But we've got time. We got time. So, this is the introduction. And in the introduction, I either tell you something that's going on, you know, just in general in wrestling, or I mention something that's going on, you know, with me. And then next up is the main event. And then we're going to switch things up a little this week. Normally, the third segment is Dark Side of the Ring. And then I do some thank yous. I'm going to do the Dark Side of the Ring right now. And that's because I feel like last week I kind of rushed the whole thing with Adrian Adonis, and then we're going to do this week with Abdullah the Butcher. So you're getting two Dark Side of the Rings for the price of one, essentially. Right. So going back to Adrian Adonis. I didn't know about his, I guess I didn't know about his, you know, his, biker, New York tough, character. I guess I didn't realize that, you know, that was the thing. I knew of him when he took over Piper's Pit and turned it into the flower shop, and yeah, just the whole thing. And like I was saying last week, this was a pretty elaborate rib or prank that Vince apparently had for Adrian. But that's the thing. If you were not a Vince McMahon creation, outside of Hogan, okay, outside of Hogan and maybe Randy Savage and maybe, you know, Roddy Piper, those three, but if you weren't a ready-made creation, then yeah, Vince was going to really, you know, give you a goofy gimmick or something, and you know, just kind of go from there. I mean, we just celebrated the Great American Bash last week, and I mean, that was, you know, Dusty is revered. Dusty Rhodes is revered. But I mean, come on, yellow polka dots. That just, no. Little side note. American Nightmare Becoming Cody Rhodes dropped this week on Peacock, or for my friends all around the world over on the WWE Network. I watched first 5 or so minutes of the documentary yesterday. Goodness, that is going to be a heck of a documentary to watch. So go watch American Nightmare Becoming Cody Rhodes, narrated by Stephen Amell, a.k.a. Green Arrow. And so that is going to be a heck of a show to watch. But getting back to Adrian Adonis. So Adrian comes in, and this was in the early to mid-1980s. And, you know, we had the first little bit of the, the AIDS epidemic. And there was a lot of fear. There was a lot of fear about, frankly, people, of the LGBTQ plus community. I mean, there was stigmatism. There was fear. There was a lot of hate. And look, I'm not accusing Vince McMahon of nothing, okay? I'm not accusing him of anything, but I'm saying, I mean, his track record with that type of thing is not great. I mean, Adrian Adonis, it's like, okay, I'm just going to give you this gimmick and go. And Adrian was like, fine, I'll show you I can pull this thing off. And he did. Adrian pulled this off. Fast forward about, 20 years, roughly, and you had Chris Kanyon, and, coming out of, that box, dressed as Boy George, and just getting absolutely just drubbed by The Undertaker. And I do not blame The Undertaker at all for that whole debacle. So I don't know what Vince, I don't know what Vince is thinking, but anyways, so Adrian did that, and it was rather successful. But then he, he started getting into, drugs and the drug culture. Interesting fact that I had no clue, that, Bret Hart, okay, Bret Hart, early on in his WWE career, got into cocaine, and he said that was basically the drug of choice was cocaine. And then after a while, Bret Hart and his brother-in-law Jim the Anvil Neidhart were thinking, we just can't do this anymore. So they got cleaned up, they got sober, all that, and the rest is history for those two becoming one of the absolute greatest tag teams of all time in our foundation. But I was just like, what? Bret Hart? Why? Okay. So yeah, there was that. But Adrian, unfortunately, for a long time was, was into, cocaine. his weight ballooned. I mean, he was, I think he was darn near 400 at one point, and just really just didn't look good. He looked lethargic. Easy for me to say. He looked lethargic. And, I mean, he was bouncing from territory to territory to territory, never really getting what he should have been getting. But he got cleaned up. Adrian got cleaned up. And he was actually experiencing a bit of a renaissance. But, yeah, it was... not good. Just a few short years after Adrian Adonis came to WWE, he was in a fatal car crash up in Canada, and yeah, it's just really. It's heartbreaking because this guy had a lot of talent. I mean, he honestly did. And yeah, that was heartbreaking to watch. So that was Adrian Adonis. I just wanted to give him, you know, a proper, proper deal. Now, up next is Abdullah the Butcher. Watch that earlier today. Fascinating. My gosh. First of all, did not know he was Canadian. Okay. Did not know that. Didn't realize that he grew up in a very tiny, I mean, a tiny, tiny home. People, are doing the whole, tiny house thing. But, I mean, this was, like, just after World War II. And, yeah, just the size of that house. And 8 kids? Oh, my gosh. I just was, yeah. And, apparently, he had to, Abdullah had to go. And, I mean, he says that he doesn't have any formal education. At least passed the second grade. No reason not to believe the guy. So, Abdullah did anything and everything to support his family, and then he got into the wrestling game, and then it just took off. I mean, he was worldwide. This guy was just worldwide, and I mean, you want to talk about hardcore? I mean, Abdullah the Butcher was hardcore. I mean, we're talking razor blades, we're talking forks, like legitimate metal forks, we're talking just all these things, and it's just, you know, Abdullah just absolutely, I mean, he kept his character. Okay, he kept kayfabe, as they say. There was a story by Mick Foley. I guess they were on a plane going somewhere, and the waitress, the stewardess, came and was asking for drinks, and Abdullah just, you know, got into character, like, you know, there we go, like that. And he did the whole bug eye thing, and It was this really, really amazing transformation. But, so, we talked about his exploits all around the world, Canada, of course, here in the United States, Japan, Abdullah was a rock star. He really was. He was a heel's heel. And you would think, okay, well, so he was successful. Yes, he was. And he drew. I mean, he drew money. You know, that was the one thing that people, even back then, were thinking, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, what are you doing? And I remember as a kid, I remember watching Abdullah Butcher. First of all, I thought he really was from Sudan. But, I mean, I saw him eating, you know, raw chicken, eating liver, you know, and just, I mean, just going. And it was just like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. If you ever want to watch one of the absolute craziest matches you will ever see in your life, go on to YouTube. It may be on Peacock/the WWE Network. It might still be there. I don't know. Go on to YouTube and look up Bruiser Brody versus Abdullah the Butcher. Oh my goodness gracious. They tore each other apart. There was no winner. They battled battled all over the place. Went through the crowd. Double count out the whole bit. But it was just like this. Are you kidding? Okay. Okay. So, there is that. Right. We now talk about situation with his later career. There was a gentleman by the name of Hannibal, or that was his character name. Abdullah apparently went a little too far, a lot too far, and he, took a blade, cut himself, allegedly, and then cut into Hannibal. And unbeknownst to Hannibal, Abdullah had hepatitis C, right? And because of that, there was a drug test, blood work being done. And this Hannibal lost out on his chance to stay in WWE. Lawsuits, the whole bit. And you fast forward to relatively recently, you have Hannibal taking a metal spike, and I mean, he was going to town on this poor referee who, I guess, you know, did the whole, you know, blood spot, you know, and all that. And so Hannibal now is getting sued for something that he's suing Abdullah the Butcher for. Not necessarily not necessarily giving the guy hepatitis, not accusing him of that, but of basically injuring him. And so I thought that was kind of a weird, parallel. So there is that. Nice guy. Goodness. Abdullah is in his 80s now. You can still see the scars on his forehead. This guy. Wow. So that is Dark Side of the Ring. So just wanted to throw that out there. Wanted to go very quickly over the Great American Bash. Great show last week from Texas. So we'll just go through this. So you had Gallus versus the family of Sax, Lorenzo, and Tony D'Angelo. Gallus boys on top for a reason. They are just such a cohesive group. They know where they are at all times in the ring. Great ring awareness. My gosh. And they can brawl. They can do it all, basically. There was no wasted, movements. It was very fluid. It was, it was physical. It was tough. It was back and forth. But the family stuck together and new tag team champions. Oh my gosh. Now, one thing we'll talk about after, and then one thing we'll talk about now. If anybody is on Threads, okay, if anybody is on Threads, let me see if I can find my information. Follow me on Threads, and it's all lowercase, but it's THE, and then there's underline, and then RW Show, the RW Show. That is how you get a hold of me on Threads. Can somebody, especially my friends over in the UK, can you please tell me what the heck happened with Joe Coffey? I mean, yes, Joe Coffey is there, but he's been pretty much out of the ring for quite some time. So if you know what happened to Joe Coffey, please get a hold of me.
Go from there.
Right, so, there's that. You had, Roxy Perez versus Blair Davenport in a Weapons Wild match. Weapons Wild, that's a bit of a stretch. Roxy was just on a whole other level. And she's gotten confident. She's really gotten, the crowd, behind her. Roxy comes out first, talks to her mom, talks to her sister, goes around, and then Blair comes through the crowd wearing a hoodie, attacks Roxanne Perez, and then they, they go from there. So, yeah, I thought that was kind of a really cool, start. That cache of toys was cute. I mean, they had one trash can. Okay, maybe two. They had like three chairs. Inside the trash can, you had like a branding iron. You had a bull rope. That was pretty much it. That was the extent. There was a table that was being used, but the extent was just kind of like maybe eight things that they were using, and it was just kind of like, okay, that's cute. And I'm rolling my eyes. I can't really roll my eyes, but I'm rolling my eyes. I'm thinking, are you kidding me? I'm not expecting them to go all hardcore, right? But you gotta look at it and say, what was that? If you're not going to do a proper, hardcore match, weapons match, whatever you want to call it, then don't do it. It made no sense. It really didn't make any sense. Did you know that Blair Davenport has a mean streak to her? Oh my gosh. To my friends over in the UK, yeah, you've seen a lot more Blair than I have, than we have. So you know what she's capable of. But man, I mean, she's got a mean streak. Great total nonstop action, right? It was very fluid. And once again, and I say this quite a bit, Roxy has moxie. Ugh, she was just absolutely amazing. And Pop Rocks onto the chairs was... I'm glad that that Blair didn't hit her head on the chairs. So that was a heck of a match. Next up, you had Gable Stevenson versus Baron Corbin. Gable is technically sound, but he's super green. I mean, he is very green. Damian Kemp, his real-life brother, he's also technically sound, and he's got the experience working, alongside and then against Diamond Mine. But Gable Stevenson, I mean, I see something there, and I mean this in the I mean this as an absolute mark of respect, right? Gable Stevenson is the Black Kurt Angle. He's the Black Kurt Angle. He can do anything in the ring. Give him some time. I know that Gable has debut, on Great American Bash, basically. And, people have questioned whether or not, he's really even cut out for the business. I think he can be. I think if he works with people like Kurt Angle, works with people like Shawn Michaels, works with, even Sarah Del Rey. Even Sarah Del Rey, one of the absolute unsung heroes of the women's business. I think that Gable Stevenson could be just top notch. But it's going to be a little bit. It was the right call. to have the double count out, because I thought, well, okay, so you just gave Baron Corbin, you know, this no-nonsense gimmick, which is, you know, oddly enough, a gimmick. But I dig this Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin himself, has said that he's running out of time, and I mean, he kind of is. I mean, he's 38, and that's not a criticism. That's just the hard reality. Guy's 38. He looks in fantastic shape, and 40 used to be that cutoff. Kind of like, okay, you've been wrestling, and now you're 40. You know, but you've got people like LA Knight, you've got people like Finn Balor, you got people like AJ Styles, that, I mean, they've turned 40 on its head, and it's just kind of like, you're how old? Rey Mysterio. I mean, you've got people that now are doing stuff well into their 40s, and it's just kind of like, okay, this works. Okay, I dig that. So there's that, and then finally Gable was getting booed again. Kurt Angle vibes. I hope that WWE leans hard into that. Wesley versus Mustafa Ali versus Dirty Dom. Again, nonstop action, very fluid. About midway through the match, Mustafa Ali, and I don't know how the heck he pulled this off. There was a camel clutch. He stacked Dom and Wes on top of each other, did, you know, a camel clutch and a Boston Crab all on one, and I'm thinking, that's the Boston Camel. That was something else. That was impressive. Mustafa Ali looked like he was finally going to win the big one. Then he didn't. And Dominic Mysterio is still your North American champion. Ugh. Anyways, Tiffany Stratton versus Thea Hale. It was not pretty. And Thea was getting bent and just ungodly positions. I mean, that, speaking of a Boston Crab, man, if you saw it, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, she was getting bent in half. The closest I've seen to that is Sheiky Baby. God bless you. Sheiky Baby. Stretching out Bob Backlund to win the, well, at the time, the WWF title. And I mean, he just bent him in half. Goodness. That was tough to watch. And then, of course, Andre Chase had to throw in the towel and the whole thing. So there's that. Finally, you have the heavyweight championship match, the NXT championship match between Carmelo Hayes and Ilya Dragunov. Just go watch it. It is a match of the year candidate, in my opinion. Just go watch it. The only thing that I will say, the only two things. One, you know, they did, Carmelo did the, you know, the the banner, opening, it was hold on to a dream, shoot for the sky, and all that, from Dusty Rhodes, get a dream, hold on to it, and shoot for the sky. So yeah, but Nahori was really, I was like, oh, dude, that is so cool. Okay, that's cool. But nobody was really cheering for that. I'm like, oh, come on, you guys are in freaking Texas. What is okay? But then Carmella comes out and people are like, hey, so thought that was kind of interesting. Great match, very physical. And all that. Yeah. So that is that. I called it. Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes broke up on this week's NXT. It was a mutual split. We'll see what happens. So that is the Great American Bash. Very quickly we go to the thank yous. Want to thank all of you for taking a chance on me and this program every single week. It is my absolute honor and pleasure to be here talking to you all around the world about WWE. It's a lot of fun. I'm having a blast with my new job over at the University of Arizona. Just completed my first week there, so very, very excited to see what happens with that. So I want to thank all of you for, again, listening to me on a weekly basis all around the world. Grateful to the folks over at Envato Elements for use of their royalty-free media. I don't know what's going on. I tried every which way to get that going, but anyway, so I may have to just give up on that, wholesale, and just kind of cut it as well. That was a great idea to have music and sound effects and, the whole bit to jazz up the show. But, there's that. So I'm very grateful to Envato Elements. And finally, the good folks over at OneStopWrestling.com. This is a fan-based company that I've been very fortunate, very grateful to be a part of for a while now. We have podcasts, we have YouTube channels, blogs, articles. We even have a magazine. So check them out at OneStopWrestling.com. All one word, OneStopWrestling.com. And big shout out, huge shout out to the man that I like to call the Godfather, Mr. Craig Smith. Thank you, sir. I'm serious. Thank you for your getting me into the group, promoting me. I didn't ever feel that I would ever make it past the parking lot, as it were, with the podcast, and here I am in 32 different countries around the world. So thank you for that. Right. Well, that is the show. We will be back next week to recap the biggest event, biggest party of the summer, SummerSlam, which will be in about 20 minutes as the crow flies and all that. So, till I see you guys next Saturday, this is Russell Wortherman, just like the Beatles sang all those many years ago, love is all you need. I will see you guys next week.